We're your dog.
Sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wa.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to Doggy Sweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which is, you know, kind of getting into it, even though we said the season wasn't as promising. But let's be honest, it's a good episode. And so we're like tiptoeing in, even though we have some trepidation. At the end of the day, hopefully something mildly sweet will happen.
Hello. So today we're talking 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 3. Snow White and the Seven Chores. This is a happily or fairy tale driven episode. And I get it because they're doing Happily Ever After. So they're like, oh, let's do fairy tales. So the last one was The Princess and the Pea Brain. And I feel like that's Rob and Sophie. And I feel like, again, today, Snow White and the Seven Chores is Rob and Sophie once again.
Yeah, I guess it has to be because she's given like a task to do. But let's start with them, if we don't mind. Sophie and Rob the Knob. So as we know, Sophie and Rob having split up, but both moving to Austin. So now he has his own place that she had left 2 months ago, and she lives with her friend Kay, /girlfriend/, we're not quite sure. But in the saga of them, she's always like trying to get back with him. And there's like always this like unknown cheating that he has done by someone online, even though we know him to have an OF. So like, you know, who knows who's in his DMs all the time. And then so here she is now having left Kay's to try again. One other thing about Rob is that he has this thing where he's like, she never leaves with me. She's like, not on my team. She's like, you know, she's like, it's like this kind of like she's not doing enough, even though he's nothing. And so he expects her to just stick around with nothing. But here she is again, attempting to go back, make amends, and like live in his space. She brings one bag.
So Rob has an OnlyFans?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
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 Have you seen it?
I feel like what had happened was I did a YouTube and people talked about it in my YouTube. And yeah, I think there might be. I think I've seen some.
He's not buff enough in my mind. Like, he just doesn't have the style, like the way he looked. And maybe it's because I'm judging him because I've seen him just be somebody who actually needs a lot of therapy on this show. So she decides that she's going to spend the night with him or the weekend with him to kind of feel things out, see how he's feeling, how they get along. And so she doesn't bring everything with her because she's not one of these women who's just going to tough it out. She is like, no, I will leave this relationship at any given moment. I don't, whatever he feels like this little piece of paper that got us married is going to do, it hasn't done. Like, I will leave you. So she brings one suitcase over and he clocks that immediately. And first of all, he's wearing some kind of uniform. So I don't know if he works at like an AutoZone or a Family Dollar, but where would someone need a orange collared polo shirt in which they wear?
And Dockers. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it Enterprise? I don't know. So she walks in and he's like, oh, only one suitcase. Isn't that like a third of your stuff? And she's like, I didn't want to bring it all over. And I think that's a really, really great thing to say, because did he pay for her Uber?
Mm-hmm.
Did he offer to rent a car or help her to bring all of her stuff? No, she comes over by herself, which is already strike number one, two, and three. If I'm moving back in with my husband better come and pick me up from wherever I am to ensure I get all my belongings. So she brings over one thing and there's a kayak just in the foyer, just like hanging up against the wall. And we're like, oh, when were you guys going to do that in Austin? That's fine. I mean, maybe there's a lake, but like, when were you guys going to do that? So they go in and he's just chopping up whatever, acting like he's too busy to come and hug her and welcome her in back to the home. And so she's like, hello. And he's like, yeah. And then she looks over and she sees a bunch of freshly picked thorny roses on top of a binder. And there's some words written. So she is thinking, oh, well, you've got me a little love letter. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for showing me all the lovey-dovey things that I've been asking for you to show me for all this time. And I really think the bar is very low. Is this woman is only asking for, like, commercial shows of love and appreciation, then how hard is it? He could just Google things to show your girlfriend or your wife that you love her.
So you wrote, Sophie, see those flowers? I got out of my car and I ran to the side of the road and I picked them for you.
I almost died trying to get them for you.
You wouldn't have died if you'd just gone to a fucking florist, asshole.
Such a weirdo. Then she picks it up and she's like, what? And she, you know, cuts herself a little bit on the thorns. And she's like, what's this? And it's not a love letter. And she's like, oh my God, I thought it was a love letter. And this is like, he's like, well, that's just a list of things that, you know, I need for us to get along better. And she reads it and she's like, washing off dishes before putting in sink, putting dirty clothes in the bin. And I was like, did he write bin or did she just say bin? Is it not a hamper or does he just change his vernacular? Then three, put makeup and hair products back after use. Four, don't get mad at me when you don't get what you want. Be patient and I'll likely work it out for you. Five, remember that we're trying to move forward and don't focus on the past. And he's like, super basic, nothing crazy.
Sorry. Did I leave? Did I pack up all my things and get into a lesbian relationship because I was messy? No, bitch, I've been fine. You are the one with your cheating. The problem is you're cheating, bitch. It's not me putting out my different Nick's lip glosses on the tools and then not being able to put it back all the way, or you having to step over my various wigs, asshole. It's the fact that you are a loser. I'm seeing loser on here.
I'm trying to make us get along. You know, I'm trying to find for ways to us get, so, you know, you could give me a list.
Okay, first number one thing, let me use toilet paper whatever the fuck I want.
Okay, look, because you use a whole roll of toilet paper a day.
It's because he gives me no paper towels. America, don't you listen? He gives me no paper products at all. I have no Kleenex. I have no paper towels. I have no Q-tips. There's no cotton balls here. Look at my... Do you know what it's like to have scratchy one-ply toilet paper to correct all the makeup mistakes? I am practically raw on my face to look like this for you, and you are bargaining with me over three different squares of toilet paper.
Okay, well, that's just very inconsiderate.
What's a toilet paper?
I don't have the money. I'm used to buying one ply toilet paper a week and having it last, because as a man, all I do is shake and jiggle the pee and I wipe with the poop.
Deal it like everyone fucking else does. Go to whoever is making you wear this orange shirt. Go into the employee room and get two paper towels, single serve, and put it under your stupid muscles. I don't even know. I deserve, like,
let me go back. It's just crazy.
But yeah, it goes back to the fact that men, this man, wants someone who looks like Sophie, and Sophie looks like a Kardashian wannabe in the early 2010s. She is a 20-nothing-year-old dripping in fucking concealer. She looks crazy. She needs a make under like nobody's business. She looks so old because she's like doing this. She looks like that basic Janet Muppet. I can't even tell you how crazy she looks. And then to do all this, she needs to be in the bathroom, which she has barely given her access to. And then when he does, he's like, you don't deserve toilet paper. He does not get that she looks like that and it requires work. And it drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah, I really do think that he is on a budget and he then wants her to, like, you know, when you move in with somebody, everything goes up double. It goes up double. So if you use one toilet paper a week, you're gonna use more than two a week, especially with a woman. Like, did you buy her Q-tips? What did you get for her in order for her to be able to do what she does? And he's like, all you do is sit in the bathroom and just roll the toilet paper up. You're in the bathroom all day. And I'm like, yeah, to look like beautiful and probably to mask the feelings that she's feeling being in the U.S. with a man who doesn't show her the love and support she thought she was going to get. Now, here's the truth. Does not she have any money? Does not she have any money? Do her Visa and MasterCard not work in the U.S. to where when he has a conversation to her about toilet paper, she then goes, okay, take me to the grocery store and I will buy my own stock of toilet paper. You use what you want to use. And you use that once a week. You buy your own. And I will buy my own. Like, I just feel weird because Sophie doesn't come from a country where she was the poorest person and that obviously doesn't have any money. So when they argue about money stuff, it's weird for me because I'm like, Sophie, you could do it yourself. And I just need you to step up and do it so that he doesn't have these arguments regarding you and whatever. Unless he's telling you, no, don't spend your money, Sophie. I'll take care of you. And then it's being a miser about it. Like, that's the only thing that I think. And so, so she's like, you know what? You looks like you're spiraling. I'm going to go on ahead and leave. I think you need some therapy, Rob. And he's just like, okay, like whatever, you're going to leave. Please, Sophie, stay. You're going to really leave? And she's like, yeah, Rob, because I know that you and I are just going to continue to fight the rest of the night. It's already started off terrible. So it's not going to go anywhere but down from here. So I'm going to go. And she gives him like a full hug. And he's like, oh, now you want to give me a full hug. And in that moment, I was like, oh, you got to walk away from him. He is petty. He is already, he doesn't know how to argue in any kind of way that is going to make it so that you guys can ever get over it. And he's like, you think I don't notice that shit? You don't think I don't notice that at the selfie museum, you gave me a half side hug? And I'm like, is that really the thing you want to talk about now as opposed to your behavior? Okay, you want to talk about her hugs and how many arms she uses for said hugs. And then she's like, okay, bye, I'm leaving. And she fucking leaves with all the power drifting behind her. And I love every second.
Mm-hmm. So there's round two for them in this episode where he and her are going to try and hang out again. This time he actually buys flowers, but pink roses. He's like, I got to get the right color pink. You know, she's like into it. Now, I do love that she's into it, but like she does seem to like always kind of like low key also like be like, and it's never quite good enough, but it's nice that you tried, you know. He and her go country line dancing, but it's two step dancing. So she shows up, my loves, in it's a jumper. It's a play suit. It's a jean denim play suit, if you will. And it's tight. And it's so small. I mean, it's very small, very tight, like uncomfortably tight. She's such like a hot girl. I think that like, just to do this, I think that Sophie, why I'm like at all heated is because she has such potential. And then I just like wish to God I could just like, girl, like she, I mean, you know, she's really pretty. And then she like feels whatever kind of insecure way, or she feels like she has to like keep up with the Kardashian and Joneses in such a way that like, this is how she's choosing a dress, but it's a very small play suit. And it's very tight. And I'm like, how are you dancing that? But he loves it. And they get to this place and they get separated, you know, the leaders and the leadettes. And there's like a older couple that obviously teach the two-step on Thursdays at this watering hole, honey. You know, you come 6 to 7 for the lessons. And then after 7 to 9 is the dancing. You know, it's interesting because we see a lot of dance lessons on all the 90 day shows and stuff like that. Everyone's going, you know, like Latin dancing or something. So it's just like, we've seen this trope. Now, usually with this trope, it happens at a time like this, where it's like, we just need to listen to each other. And I let him lead sometimes. Like, then you get all of those like after moments or whatever. And it kind of feels like that's a little bit what's happening here. One part though, I will say is that Sophie's like, honey, I'll tell you right now, in London, this whole cowboy thing, I thought it was like a costume I got here, like a whole last thing. And then Sophie goes into her little Southern country accent. And I wrote down here, I thought it was great. She's like, hi, y'all. Or my man, I was like, Sophie, I'll buy it. I liked it.
Yeah, I think that she definitely has the tightest outfit on. And she has the upper hand in this situation for sure. Because Rob is like acting silly and being like trying to be cute or whatever. And I was like, this is you being cute? Oh no, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me. Him being like, wah, 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 while she's like, please be serious, be serious. And then she's like, you know, my friend Colm. Yeah, so he's coming to visit me. And I thought, how trashy and like just poor, I'm going to say it, poor is Rob to where he cannot understand how someone would come from another country to visit their friend who now lives in America. Like, why is that such a big deal? He's like, well, is he ugly? She's like, no, but he's not my type. And he's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't even go for my male friend. Which then lets me to believe that he puts value of his male friendships over his female friendships. Yep. Even if
another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If he has female friendships, he seems like the kind of guy who doesn't have any female friends because he obviously feels like he would have to fuck them or try, like, he doesn't do that. And I think that's weird. If you're a guy out there doesn't have friends of the opposite sex because you feel like you would, and like opposite sex and then like opposite sex that you're attracted to, like, and then you think that you would not like be friends with them because they are the opposite sex, and so obviously that's, you know, indicative of you wanting to have sex with them. I think that's weird.
Yeah,
I personally do. Like, I know that there are plenty of people out there who are like, no, like, I don't have, like, girls out there who are like, I don't have any straight male friends because why? Like, I only have, like, whatever. And I'm like, to me, that is weird. That's weird. There's nothing I can do to get around it. There's nothing, I don't understand it. And so he says that, and then he's immediately pissed. And I'm like, Rob, you wouldn't go visit your friend in London if they moved to London? That's weird. Even your male friends, you wouldn't go just to have the experience of being able to hang out with somebody that you know and to get an opportunity to have a free room and board to stay with somebody who can take you around a foreign country? That's weird to me. So he says that, he's upset, and she just has to kind of deal with it. And then in their confessionals, they're sitting apart, yet sometimes they hug each other. And that's also confusing as well. So it's just really, it's really an odd segment that we just know that Rob needs actual help.
I wish that she would be like, I wish that he was like, is Callum ugly? And I wish she'd be like, yes. Oh, but so rich. So if I were you, I would not be happy about. You know, like, he's so happy that he's not happy. He's not happy because Callum is attractive, but he wanted so badly Callum to be ugly. It's so specifically intense, the value that Rob puts on perceived physical beauty.
Yeah.
And it's funny because in his mind, he's like, Callum has no power over me unless he's hot. Then he can move in my territory. But I want to be like, if Callum is mildly attractive and has stability and like a sense of like, I don't know, like a sense that like he can take on the world, that is so much more attractive than you having like lighter eyes.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck you think your thing is, you know?
If Callum comes and pays for dinner every time you guys go out,
he won.
Yeah, he wins, hands down.
And I mean this, it's not even that he wins because he can pay things. He will become more physically, more attractive because his energy is hotter than yours. And I think that that's what I'm saying to you. It's not about looks. It's about the energy being hot. Your energy's on. So
here's my last thing about them is, why is Sophie always the caretaker of him, her mother? So at this point, Sophie needs to recognize that she puts herself in positions to unfortunately be caretakers of people's emotional grid. And she doesn't find people who are in a place where they can actually take care of her emotionally. And that's just such an unfortunate situation for her. And I hope that even though she finds him attractive and she thinks like on paper they look good together, or just on print, not even on paper, on print they look good together, I hope that she will divorce him and go about her life and understand that she needs somebody who is not only older, but not even older. Somebody who has an emotional intelligence that isn't, I'm the victim. Because his argument with her when she got to the house was wild. Okay, Moving on to Manuel and Ashley. Manuel's, okay, I'm just going to skip over to this. So they put Manuel in an English class, and I
really are.
I truly believe that the English class, they just threw him in. Like everybody else in the two other people in that English class had been there for at least months, because the way it felt rude that the teacher was speaking in mostly English for an entry level class.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, we can go back. So his English isn't getting any better because he's stuck in the house just dealing with Ashley all day. They are in the car driving to a place to look at motorcycles with no attendant buying, guys, because he thinks that if he had a motorcycle, he could hop on it and just like drive to New York City and be with his family, and he would have a lot more freedom. And so they are on their way, and in the car, they're like, she's like, it's motorcycle. And he's like, motorcycle. And she's like, motor? I just enjoy that. Anything where she is helping him to say the word in English, like, it's getting weird. He's like, it's getting weird. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, they're really cute together. I love Manuel and Ashley. Every time they have their banter together, it's cute because, A, I love the fact that she speaks a lot in Spanish, and so we get a lot of them conversing in Spanish, and we get to see their humor and they're kind of playing with each other in a different language, and you know, it's cute. So yeah, at the place, now we know a lot of things. He has no money. She has more money than him, but not a lot of money. She's in the red, by the way. Like, she's like in diggity debt. So, but he wants his freedom, and we kind of go back to the fact that he has family in New York, and he can go visit New York, and maybe that was suspect to her because she didn't realize how much family he had, and is he using her to get the green card to the United States? We're not quite sure, in her mind, but I don't think so. But this scene is basically about whether he wants his own freedom ride or whether he wants to have her on the back, and we have this guy, the salesman, say, you know, females look at everything in the eyes of romance. The men still want their freedom. And I disagree, because the truth of the matter is, if we were at a thing where Ashley wanted a toy that had nothing to do with him, she would not be like trying to romanticize her toy. Like, for instance, if she was going to go, bad example, but you can understand what I'm about to say, go buy a Birkin bag, she's not going to go to a Bot Hermes and be like, what Birkin bag will signify my love with Manuel? Like, no, because in this example, the Birkin bag is a toy for her. So I want to be like, no, weird man, women are their own entities. You're working at a men's toy shop, so you're seeing one POV. If you worked at Hermes and she was looking at Birkin bags, she'd be like in her own toy world of whatever thing she wants, her what's going to make her feel free or powerful, excitement or beauty, whatever she wants, and would have nothing to do with a man at all. So that's just a small thing. Like, same thing, if I was going to go to Sephora, I don't go to Sephora and be like, what color, you know, is bringing me romance with my dude. I am in my power play of like what makes me feel good. It's my own. So that's just like a small moment where I'm like, you just don't know what you're fucking talking about. Anyway, so then we get to this part where, yes, Manuel wants to like learn his English. And yeah, he's taking classes at a library or some sort of like thing like that. And it's a teacher. And it feels like, yeah, it feels like he is entered into an ongoing class. And so the teacher's like straight up like, OK, so just so you know, I'm going to speak most of the time in English, and then, you know, we'll see where you need to be. And he's like, so he's like, okay, Manuel, just kidding. Have you ordered in a cafe? And when he then has to be like, no, I don't know. And he's like, okay, just, you know, have you in Spanish ordered in cafe? And, you know, I love Manuel. And he's like, yes. He's like, okay, so order chicken and rice. He's like, yes. You know, pollo y arroz. He's like, or, you know, that's Arabic. Pollo and arrozo. How do you say rice and
arroz?
Arroz. And then, you know, they're like, okay, no, try it in English. He's like, chicken and wife. And he's like, okay, my fault. Try saying, I would like to order, you know. And it's like, it is cute because we see that Manuel's trying. And I think that we're going to get like a huge, beautiful, like arc of a transformation. But I mean, we see how basic it is. And like, it's also difficult because if you haven't been in a school setting of like listening to an order or like an assignment or listening to a question and then having to like exactly give back what they want, the pattern of that, you know, you have to get your mind back into that. So it's going to take some time. And I know it's hard when you first start something. It can be overwhelming when you feel like you have so much to learn. I could really feel his frustration.
Yeah, that was good. Crazy. So we find out that she is worried that Manuel is going to ride off to New York City and just go be with his family and not include her. So she's made a decision that she's going to insert herself into his situation. And I get why she's doing that, because she knows she has to force her way in because he won't just allow her to come in. And so finally, he's like, if you want to meet my family, that's fine. Just let me just tell you that it might be difficult because you're calling yourself a witch. And so she's like, but I don't want to lie to your family and tell them something different. So then they go to a,
they're like, okay, then tell me you're a spin instructor. I was, why do you have to say you're a witch? I mean, that's what I would say. I mean, you don't have to come in with like, with sage burning.
That's what he said to her. And then so we go to her and him going to a, I guess, a brujería, which is a La Tienda de Brujas. So they go to a store that has spiritual stuff. And the lady there convinces him, and she has like all white. So I imagine she's like whatever the religion that Danielle is. Oh, just some religion where she has to wear all white. Now, here's the truth. There's not only Danielle's. There's other like island spiritual religions where wearing all white is the thing because it opens up you to like positivity. So they go there and the lady's like, here's some herbs to take a spiritual bath. Then Manuel talks about himself being Catholic and blah, blah, blah. But as far as I know, I'm like, Manuel, are you Catholic, Catholic? Because you don't be going to church on Sundays, do you? Did we miss that? Do we miss all the Catholic things that you do to be like, well, I don't do that because I'm Catholic? So then at the end of it, he's like, okay, I'll take the bath. Like, yeah, take the bath. Who cares? And so
I loved it. She was like, okay, try the lady Clementina, by the way, is in the white turban. And she's like, you should try, this is what I think she says, an ortala, you know. And then quickly to Ashley, she's like, it's one of the seven African powers. I want to be like, what? What's it? One, it's the ortala, one of the seven African powers. And then like, you know, Ashley's like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. It's like, oh, you know, like what? So anyway, she gets two baths and they come in these little like sachets. It's like, yeah, go home, put them all in a hot thing. Yeah. He's Catholica. But I will tell you, as a Catholica, we basically don't have to go to church at all, except for tomorrow, which is technically Easter, but you're not going to hear this until after Easter. So
wait a minute. You basically truly don't have to go to church at all?
I mean, no, you're supposed to go to church, of course, but most Catholics like don't, you know, but you go on Easter.
Not Christmas?
Not even as important as Easter. Better. Christmas is 100% better than Easter for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Not dead.
Yeah. But Easter is the thing?
If it wasn't Easter, honey, it wouldn't be a miracle. Everyone can be born. Not everyone dies and is written 3 days after.
Wonderful.
Yeah, the miracle of miracles.
I mean, I know like in other, like in the AME church, Christmas is just as important as every Sunday.
So not important? Oh, wait. So what you mean?
No, I mean, it's just as important. You need to go every Sunday. Like in the AME church, you go to church every Sunday. And those people who show up on Christmas and Easter are looked at like crazy people. Like, oh, now you want to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it is very much like, don't come to church. Like, come, but we will side-eye you. And then you also better be dressed.
Oh, yeah.
Better be dressed to the nines. I mean, hat, gloves, stocking, shoes, a handbag, everything.
Patent fucking leather.
Must be prepared. So at least they can say she's a lukewarm Christian, but when she comes correct. You know, so anywho, they then do that in the backyard. She puts out a tarp to have that conversation with him and like drop freezing cold water on him. And I thought they were actually going to get in the bathtub. So I was like, oh, no bathtub. Interesting. And then he starts to talk to her about like, hey, just maybe don't tell my family immediately that you're a witch. she all of a sudden thinks that that means that she's lying. But I think it's because he doesn't take it as seriously as she does. He's like, you make money doing other things that are more valuable in life, which to talk about. This witch nonsense, while you love it and think it's the end all and be all, I have seen no evidence that it actually does anything to affect our lifestyle and all the things. And she's like, listen, what I did is that I cast a spell to this walnut tree the day before I was asking for you to be able to come to the U.S. And then the next day.
Is it the next day, you said?
See, that's what he does. He repeats the next day. Sorry, I realized I didn't.
And he's like, yeah, you were able to come and get your visa. So if you don't believe in this brujaria, this witchy, witchy magic, that's fine. I do. And I know that it's true. And he's like, great. Can you still not tell my family?
Just don't make it your whole personality. That's what we're saying. Listen, just don't. I mean, just pretend you have other things going on. Let's move on to Gino and Jazz. Jasmine is her name. Have you heard of her? Listen. So we are hot on the heels of this lawyer meeting where Gino, the very sassy lawyer, who put him in his place. Mm-hmm. And was like, you're dumb because you're a cheap asshole. You made a huge fucking mistake. And your huge mistake is going to cost more time, more money, and the frustration and anger of Jasmine. Jasmine, they're now sitting at like a fancy cafe place, you know, and she's basically not talking, which is great because we know how pissed she is. And one thing that's even worse and scarier than a Jasmine screaming is a Jasmine that won't say one goddamn. So then Gino is there. And we get like, their music we have for their intro sounds very specifically Billie Eilish sounding. It's like Billie Eilish sound music. And she's wearing this like white eyelet dress. You know, I love eyelet. Oh my God. But it's like, she has like these like ruffly, whatever these called, straps. And one strap is kind of fucked up on the side. You know, when you just like have a friend and just like, I was watching this whole scene. I just wanted to take it and unravel it for her. And then it's like, kind of like fan out the ruffle. But anyway, so. She's like, basically, Gino, I told you to get a lawyer and you said, no, I will do it myself. And you fucked up this thing. He's like, I fucked up one thing. He's like, she's like, actually the biggest thing, the biggest one, the huge, most important thing, my kids, you fucked up. And she's like, we are going to get a lawyer and I'm going to get my kids. And Gino absolutely puts, you know, all of his 10 toes down in a sandal and is like, no, we are not. I don't have the money for it. And I'm not going to hire a lawyer. And Jasmine, with like the ability to be able to use her kids in this moment, is like, I cannot believe you will not offer me this. Like, I cannot believe that you were being so stringent about this. I can't believe when it comes to my kids and a mistake that you made and for me to be happy and you promised me to like be protected, the fact that you aren't sitting back on your apologies and figuring out a way to make it better, the mistake you made, is indicative of the fact that you'd be a shitty father because your priorities are not for like the good of the family. I mean, like, and she's saying it, by the way, she's not screaming. He's actually more angry. Well, she screams at some point. What do you think of this?
Yeah, I don't understand where she thinks his money comes from. I want to know better if she has seen his bank accounts and then therefore knows he actually does have the money, but just won't spend it. And so maybe she doesn't like, I want to know, because I think in other countries, people have a different idea of how money flows in the U.S. Like, you can put things on credit card in the U.S. You can get yourself into a lot of debt. And other countries may not have those options. So when they see Americans spending money, they assume that the money is actual cash. They don't understand that it's credit, that this person might be putting themselves into debt over. And we all know that Gino has gone on a leave of absence and or quit his job.
Yeah.
And so we don't know if he has any kind of job security as a 54-year-old man trying to get back into the workforce after a certain amount of time. We don't know what he's used to spending his money on. Because let me tell you, it is very hard to get a miser to all of a sudden not be one. And if he believes that, one, he should not shoulder the blame for all of this because she should have somehow been involved and or told him over and over again, don't forget my kids, And she's like, I knew that I shouldn't have trusted you to do this because you would have gone a route that's A, the cheapest, and B, maybe not paid attention to what for me is the most important thing. Now, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, how was he to know that he needed to put their names on that document in order to speed up the process later on of getting them the visa? Because maybe his first wife did not have any kids, and that was never an issue that he needed to worry about. Maybe he just didn't think about all those things because he was so proud of himself for saving the money to do it himself. Now, the lawyer did also make him sound stupid for choosing to do things without him. And that's why Jasmine now feels like she has all the cards in her court to be able to say, see, you don't know what you're doing. But Gino's like, even if great, that's fine. But you're blaming it all on me when you're to blame as well. We don't know how. But also that I don't have the money to pay this lawyer to do it. I don't have it. And I want to know, is she expecting him to go into his 401k?
Yes.
And like, that's the thing that I'm like, no, you can't expect that. Because unfortunately, unless you are going to guarantee that you're going to go to work and get your own 401k so that you can replenish that money. I mean, even the five, like, it's not just $5,000, right? You don't just give somebody $5,000 and then have it all taken.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It'll end up being a little bit more. So unless they have some kind of plan for Jasmine to then replenish their retirement coffers, then it's not a guarantee. And I can see him wanting to do what he needs to do. But he is so upset. As soon as she calls him like that, he's not ready to be a parent. I mean, the man gets so upset and he is offended to his core. And I get that. Like, it's not like, you know, I'm saying he's wrong for being offended, but he can't hear anything else now. She's like, what on us? And he's like, you're the ass. Like, this man can't even, he can't cuss somebody out on his own accord. So he just has to say the same thing back to somebody that they said to him.
Well, he does say, you're screwed up in your fucking dumb head, which we were like, oh, when he threw that out, I was like, yeah, the fact that he gets so offensive, and it is his fault. And by the way, I'm going to take Jasmine's side. How are you going to be a father? He's, what is he, 55, 60?
52.
52. This is, come for me. How do you want to be a father at 52 and you don't have 5K? 5K at 52, you don't have it? You want to be a dad? How are you going to, who's going to pay the kid? 5K? 5K is daycare for like 2 months in America. I hate this. It's like five. I mean, it's just what it is. I mean, and the reason why I'm saying this, my loves, is because he's old. This man's old. So if he's going to, and it's the same thing with Rob. How do these men think that they are going to be able to do the things they want to do with absolutely no money? How does Gino think that he is going to provide and make a Jasmine feel okay in America when he will not provide her money? Because he could date someone who needs less money, but he has never gone for that type of woman. He has always gone for the most plastic, most expensive style, high maintenance woman. And that's Jasmine, and she has two kids. So he fucked up and he's 52. He's a broke loser. Now here we go to Rob, who wants the exact same kind of woman. A very fake, very plastic, very expensive, high maintenance woman. And want to pay nothing for it. And so at this, you know, that's, I mean, I think it to be, you know, obviously dumb. So that's their fight there. And I will just say this, that the lattes they were drinking looked really, really good. They were like in those like really big mugs, like, you know, like ceramic mugs, you know. But this was an interesting and different fight for them because it felt very real. And it wasn't like it wasn't screaming and her like leaving. It was, I really felt like her, I mean, devastation. And I really felt his just like, really, he felt he was so on the defensive that he almost became the most offensive person that I've seen on, I mean, in their attack, but in their fight, I mean. it's the hardest I've ever seen him go. She's like, I've never seen Gino like that. I'm like, yeah, either have I.
Yeah. She keeps saying that, though. It's not the first time she said, I've never seen this side of Gino. I need to go back home. And so it's at this point, you just need to go back home.
Yeah.
Especially because we have no evidence. And not to say that, like, this is necessary to a plot line, but, like, we have no evidence that she ever one day took care of those kids. And so it feels very, like, weird that she is trying to get these kids to her when we have not one scene of her being like, come on, JC, come on Wednesday, let's go get some ice cream. Like, not one. And so it's just a little bit hard for us. Now, I don't want to deny her, you know, being a mother and like whatever she does for her kids, but it just feels like, are they not better off with the people who seem to actually take care of them? I don't know. Like, what is it going to be like when those kids come to the U.S.? Like, is she going to be able to? And the thing is, no, she's going to want to give them everything, but she's married a poor man. And so that's the thing. I don't want to see the next step is them actually get here. And then her being like, well, Wante wants to play the cello and JC wants to play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And then like him not being able to afford any of that. And then her being mad at him for not being a good dad. Like, that's the thing that's like, you can have kids if you're poor. There is nothing wrong with it. You're able to do it. You just don't have as much opportunity. Your kids won't have as much opportunity in life to do the extracurriculars and whatnot. I mean, sometimes people figure it out. They ask for family members to pay for someone's soccer and they ask the other family member to pay for someone's cello. And it's possible, but it's like she's going to expect a very clean and clear and crisp type of life. And that's not what he's able to give her. In fact, she's already talking about, well, he has to pay $800 for my mother's tests. And like, it's to me wrong for her to think that, because just to assume that the American is going to just pay all of everyone, where does it stop?
It's her husband, though. To her, it's like, my mother.
Where does it stop?
Well, it doesn't. To her, he has promised to take care of her. She came here. He promised to take care of her. And if it comes, you know, I think that's what it is. You know, also think about the fact that he at one point supposedly gave her $10,000 for a wedding dress. And now she's asking $5,000 to get her kids here. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. Want to move on? Nicole and Mahmoud, honey. Okay, Nicole and Mahmoud, a little B footage of Santa Monica, even though as Los Angelians, we know that their ass lives firmly on the east side. I mean, they are knee deep in Los Feliz. You know what I'm saying? They are like going to the alcove. They go to Little Dom's. You know, they get like Menchie's ice cream. You know, like that's their lives, you know? So, but she wants to show them the sights. And so she's like, I know it's going to make this person happy. The beach, you know, the beach.
Yeah. And it's a terrible beach. Let me tell you right now, California beaches suck. If you have ever been to a Caribbean beach, if you've ever been to a Floridian beach, California beaches, or if you've ever been to like a Hawaiian beach, like of all the beaches that they like to show on TV as the best beaches, I mean, I don't know what the Australian beaches look like, either the West Coast, the South Coast, North Coast, or the East Coast. I don't know what the New Zealand beaches look like, but comparative, California beaches are cold and dirty and they suck.
I know what you're saying in regards to the best beaches on earth, but West Coast is so much better than like hilly, weird, cold East Coast beaches that I will stay at. I think San Diego's gorgeous. And there's definitely some like beaches in Orange County I would go to. I would definitely never go to a beach in LA. Anyway, so in the morning before, she decides to get him some breakfast and it's some donuts.
Why? Why donuts? Have you not been to Cairo? Have you not seen what savory, delicious meals this man might eat in the morning? And you're going to bring him sweet ass, sugary ass donuts?
So weird. You're saying, yeah, I'm like, well, you need donuts.
That's crazy.
Donuts to me are such a weird, I don't know. Donuts to me either think you have to wake up early in the morning and you do like a long drive. So some part of your life has gotten to be like Dunkin' Donuts and coffee, or you're like a churchgoer. But I don't understand a world in which a normal person eats a donut. But anyway. She low-key in her own way is like, I know that yesterday was a little awkward because he said he was tired, but he got home and he ended up sleeping naked, which is good because we had a good night.
Yeah.
She has her hair is the color of flaming hot Cheetos.
Like a phoenix rising from the sun. It is just like, it is crazy. Rising from the ashes. Phoenix rising from the ashes. He's talking about that he's used to having falafel, cheese, eggs, mashi, koshari in the morning. I'm like, what is koshari?
I tell you what it is. Okay, so actually, I'll be honest. Koshari is macaroni bechamel. It's like macaroni and like a red sauce and sometimes lentils.
No, sounds great.
I'll be honest. Falafel, you know your girls, Levantine, me. I love Lebanese breakfasts. For sure, cheese and eggs. Sometimes some olives. Sometimes like some pita bread. Sometimes some blebni. Maybe falafel. Mashi is stuffed vegetables, you know? So koshari, I don't really think of as being a breakfast food, but you can come at me if it really is. It's definitely a street food. I think there's definitely a savoriness to it. But yeah, she's lived in Egypt. She definitely knows what he's eaten there the whole time. You would think that she would have like maybe tried to make one moment of her like breakfast routine akin to his, but no donuts. Here they are. But he's going to go to the pier, honey, and he's going to bring his prayer mat. And she's like, yeah, sure. You can bring that prayer mat. Yeah.
Nicole loves Amer. And she says that she just loves how anything goes here. And I thought that was like such a weird like thing that she loves about this country that I don't care about. Like, I guess I've never been to a super conservative country. But I don't know that I would be like, oh, my God, I can't believe I have to wear this head wrap when I go out. Like, I need to know more about, like, what the constraints are to better understand her just absolute hate of Egypt. Because that's, at this point, what it feels like. And so she then takes him to the pier and she puts on, like, things that are going to make him uncomfortable. It's like right away she wants to make him uncomfortable. And I don't know if that's the right tactic. I don't know if putting like a giant t-shirt of a woman in a bikini bottom and like bikini outfit on him is thing. Like he doesn't want a hat put on him. He's like, I don't wear busy. And I was like, ooh, who taught you that? He's like, I don't want to wear busy clothes. Like I don't want to wear bright colors and like a lot going on. It's like him and Ruben the Cuban are the exact. And so he's just like, yeah, I'm not interested in all of this. And she's trying to make him like have a good time and whatnot. And she is like, I really hope that me and him work out. It's like, this is her again. Like from the other way, she always talked about how she hoped. It's like, there's nothing grounded in actual factual, like evidence. It's everything is a hope for her. So then they're walking down the cold pier together and Mahmoud hasn't smiled apparently. And she's like, you haven't smiled all day. So what she wants to do in day one, mind you guys, day one, still jet lagged, like still doesn't understand what's going on. It's like, oh my God, I'm never going to see my family again. Still trying to figure everything out. Is not interested in the way people are dressed here because I feel like Nicole has set in his brain that America is this wild free place. And he's just now scared and worried that the influence of this wild devil place is going to like turn him away from his culture. So instead of her setting him up immediately with a mosque and like people and friends and like whatnot, she has decided to make him wildly uncomfortable instead. And then ask him when he isn't smiling from ear to ear at every second, what's wrong? Because I don't want you to be uncomfortable here. I want to make this the best thing that you've ever experienced. Yet we can see that she's not making things the best thing he's ever experienced because she's making him uncomfortable. And then also serving him like a crazy ass sweet treat in the morning. Like just so much that she's saying versus what she's doing that doesn't add up to me. And then it also feels like she's like, well, I want you to be comfortable, unlike the way you treated me. Well, I want you to know that I care about the way you feel about being in this country, unlike the way you cared about me feeling in your country. Like everything feels like an antithesis to what he did to her in Egypt. And I'm like, girl, it's not going to work because he's not going to recognize it. Like either people are interested in making someone feel comfortable or they're not. And you cannot say like, this is what I want from you because maybe that's not within their wheelhouse and you guys let them be who they are. Now, this is the part that I wish that the cameras had caught because I don't understand why we didn't see it because they were walking and following them the whole time or else it didn't happen. But they're walking down. Mahmoud sees apparently his first Muslim woman and she says that he stops in his tracks and is like shaking from seeing. And we don't see that on camera. Did you see that?
It was a very small moment, but then she tries to be like, I know my husband and I know when he's excited. I think that she used a moment of him just recognizing and being, I think that he probably was just like, oh my God, someone has someone like me. You know what I'm saying? Or who is she? Where is she from? Is she, you know, like, is she Sunni? Is she, I don't know. You know, like whatever he, you know. And yeah, she went absolutely crazy with this. And it's like, you could just go back. I'll put you on a fucking play right now. You can be a womanizer. And I'm like, be a womanizer? When she said that, I was like, bitch, what? He didn't fucking smile. Like, even if he was like, oh, a Muslim woman, allow him to like have a moment. I'll be honest. Nicole in this scene was the first time I really recognized their age difference. And she's 40, he's 31. But in the scene, it feels like she's 43 and he's like 24. And she is just leading this small young man down this pier and then trying to like tell him how to be or how to act. And it's like not fair because he doesn't know where he's from. Like, I don't know. Also, by the way, Nicole never smiled the entire time she was in Egypt. So you're mad at him for like not smiling one day. Bitch, you didn't smile the entire time. I'm not saying you should have, but like he just got off a plane. I don't know. Nicole is going to drive me, I think, a little crazy. But at the same time, this is why it's hard. Nicole's driving me crazy. Now, in the world, we know that there is some sort of thing that happens later on in the season where he is approached by police or gets arrested or detained for domestic violence. So I cannot, of course, know what happens in that moment. But in this thing, it doesn't seem like they're on a road to fun or happiness. And I will say they never have been on that road.
Yeah, that's all the hopes that they have.
Yeah.
As opposed to the reality of what they have.
Yeah.
So he says that he's done. And he walks away from her because she's cussing at him, calling him a womanizer. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he gets him walk away. And it's just like, same old Mahmood and Nicole.
Yeah.
Here they are again, fighting. Can't even have one day of like peace. And, you know, from yesterday, her saying, I'm pissed you didn't sleep on the plane is like another wild situation. Okay. Last couple is Emily and Kobe. It's like coming to Cameroon. It's like just the most, it's just the most interesting situation where we have to watch people who have never been in a place where they are not the number one look of people and having them audibly have feelings about it. And I'm going to say right now that I don't want to judge them because I understand that if that were me and I were from a place where like I was number one in the world and I was the dominant, you know, super race and I went to a place where it wasn't like America. And not only was it not like America, it's not that it was either just not diverse. It was completely the opposite of the people in the country that I'm from that we think are criminals. So like now I'm just around a lot of these people. I don't understand what's going on because nobody speaks English. I don't understand the customs. Like I'm weirded out by the roads because nobody drives any kind of, you know, structure. I'm weirded out by the food and the customs. And then Kobe doesn't help either because he provides information that is unnecessary to them. And they're now asking a bunch of questions, worrying about their safety. So it's a lot going on. And so like I want to give them some grace, but also at the same time acknowledge the fact that they are wildly ignorant. And we can see what this is like for some people who have never left the country and would not ever understand what it's like to not be the neutral and or number one part.
I thought Kobe did a good job. That's the only thing I agree with you what you're saying, but I thought Kobe did a good job for like what he did. You know, like here they are, honey, you know, like they're driving. Obviously, last episode, we got all of their beautiful clothes and Kobe has like different patterns for like, you know, the two branches of his family. And they're on the way to Kobe's house. Kobe's driving. It's a little bit of a jaunt. And obviously, Kobe's trying his best to like bridge, you know, his current family, the one he's been living with, I mean, in America with obviously his family and it is its kids, it's a lot for him. And he does love Emily's family, but they are so very what? So very American, you know, like, and especially Emily's mom, who's like the most obviously white woman,
who's like, it's not safe. Well, where you say,
you know, it's all of that, which is LOL. So Kobe does his best. Everything is like with a smile. He's like, ah, I got you. No, it's fine. It sometimes happens, but we have enough gas and we're going to get there. And They get there and the family is all standing outside. You see like the blue and white pattern, you know, that we knew, you know, and it's like absolutely magical. I mean, he walks up and he's like, they're like, Coleman, there's your grandfather. Go give him a big hug, you know. And obviously he's carrying his little daughter with him. And suddenly we have all of his family, all of his 10 siblings there. His sisters run up to him with like such obviously like love and warmth. They haven't seen him in such a long time. They're so excited. It's like there's music, you know, there's like people are like dancing and like shouting things for them. It's like absolutely filled with love and warmth and instantaneously, you know, just like expanding your heart. I mean, Emily tries to like jump in and dance a little bit. I'm kind of like, don't do it, Emily, just don't, you know. Afterwards she dances like, and the song ends, she kind of does like a bow and I'm like, no. Well, don't even do that. You know, just like take those kids and run in those house and quickly ask if you can do anything. I started to think like, okay, so then we go in the house and then Kobe's dad gives Emily's dad, it's a gift, okay? But it like represents the father that they had like passed. And then I was like, wait, did Emily bring anything? Did Emily's family bring anything to Kobe's house?
I feel like they must have. Maybe we didn't see the presentation.
Oh, they had to. Yeah.
Kobe would have known to do so.
I know, but it's like, were you thinking that? Were you like, do you have anything for them?
I wasn't worried about it because I thought that Emily was really trying in the best that she could. And I think that she, you know, her father did a good job of like accepting everything that was going on and hugging. And then Kobe was crying. And like, I love his vulnerability in that moment.
Yeah.
I love that the grandmother just snatched up that baby and was like, everyone move, go ahead. I have this baby. Baby was asleep on her. And then I thought that it was good. And then even the next morning they had their own accommodations and the parents were just talking and that Coben had been playing with his cousins all night. And, you know, I just thought it was a good morning conversation. But what I was confused about is when they found out that they had to do a wedding, I didn't quite understand Emily and her mother and Lisa's like trepidation with it. Did they think that they were going to be expected to plan it?
I agree with you. And I think that this is basically the conflict that the producers are putting in there for what is going to necessarily be a beautifully shot, fun vacation, like a good vacation. This kind of thing is perfectly 90 Day Fiance. You have like fish out of water and it's their family here and all the costumes. It's great to watch. Great TV, right? I think that we need to have like something, a brewing. And I think that the wedding provides like a natural, you know, like obviously event, a big event, dramatic or whatever. And this kind of like, we're going to do this kind of thing is a good con. Because of course, why would she think she's going to lift one finger? We know they're not going to be expected to do anything. They don't know this world. Were they like call Yelp people to be like, come and do this wedding? Obviously. Also, we realize like, you know, Kobe's family is a big ass deal. Like, they don't need your help. They've been here for a long time. They have all the people, like, you know, like whatever they need to do. It's a beautiful situation where, you know, what's annoying, of course, is that they're having this wedding so that their wedding will be blessed by the ancestors. And so we want to have is like Emily's mom and her be like, well, of course, because we got to have a wedding and this is like your chance. And so for them to just be like, oh, then we don't have a lot of days here. This feels super like insular and selfish. I think at the end of the day, it feels very selfish, like all this kind of stuff. It's like, bitch, you had your wedding and now he gets to have his wedding. Do you have a problem with that? You don't even have to plan anything for your wedding. He had to do probably a lot more for your ass wedding than you'll be doing here. You're just sitting here enjoying it, you know?
Yeah. I do just want to, like, I know you didn't mean to say it, but you said costume. And I want to pull that back and say they're not costumes. It's just like traditional clothing and like clothing. But another thing that she said was that,
yes,
can we put your father in American clothing? Like, that was also weird too. And I don't know if it happened in this episode, but I want to bring it back up.
It did. It did happen. Then she did that. And she also said, well, could we cook them American food when they come here?
And it's like, no. And also, what would that be? There's so many
burgers,
macaroni and cheese,
Kraft.
Yeah. I don't know what it would do. And so it was, it was just interesting, the fact that they were just some things. And she was like, oh, the Lion King. Like, and we're like, okay. And I get it, right? Like, but it, here's the deal. It's one thing for you to think that Africa is looks like the Lion King because you don't know any Africans. But it's another thing when you're married to specifically a Cameroonian and you then still have the idea that it's like the Lion King. And it's, that's what's weird to me. And because there's Google, you could have done so much research to try to figure out all the things that he's saying. And it's weird that she hasn't, because you are now the mother of these children. And it's not only up to Kobe to kind of expect them to understand his family, but you need to support that as well. And I hope that she takes from this a deep rooted understanding of the lineage that Kobe comes from, because she saw all the families surrounding them. And she sees the way that Kobe is taking care of her, because they are not in some weird hut situation or shanty situation. They are in an actual home. Every other person who's gone to Africa, except for like maybe Angela, has been complaining about it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not Ben from Ben and Akini, but like, you know, they're well taken care of in this moment.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like the idea of whatever they thought is not what they actually have. The kids all have their electronics, which I think is so cute, but you know.
Well, yeah, the American kids. Basically, at the end of this ends with like Kobe being like, okay, here's the deal. Yes, the wedding's happening. I'll tell you what happens. You get to have a dowry. And the mom is like, well, crazy, because you already are married. You already have kids. And it's like, shut the fuck up, bitch.
Yeah, shut up.
You know, which is like, yeah. So it's just basically the custom is like some goats and pigs. She's like, I feel so weird, like trading my daughter. And it's like, well, you know what also probably feels weird for Kobe? Just like having to like go in like any sort of weird church that you want. I don't know. Like there's a billion things that are weird that you do here. And it's just like you refuse to put yourself out of behind your eyes and behind your nose to understand anyone else's point of view. But anyway, that's crazy. But that's how that ends. What makes me happy, though, is Emily's dad is like, we should be paying Kobe's family. And you can tell that Kobe laughs at that joke in such a way that like one cause of connection that's obvious between Emily's dad and Kobe is what a ridiculous person Emily is and how like both of men have had to like deal with that.
Yeah.
And every time I see Emily's face, like I'm like, yeah, you are the spitting image of your dad. Your dad just cloned his face and put it on you. So I literally forget that Emily's mom is Emily's mom because of how they don't look like each other. And I will say Emily's mom, she's either gotten some great work done or she's really, I mean, that's what's happening. She has some great natural work done. She's aging beautifully. And
yeah,
she
only looks like 20 years older, and she might be, but she doesn't look that much older than Emily to me.
Yeah.
So I thought that was weird that she was like, yeah, I don't feel good about making a list for a dowry. And I'm like, why not? Make a fucking list. This is the only time you're ever going to get to do it. And they're already married, so you know it's not real.
Yeah.
Like, just do it. And it's fun. And it's, you know, knock door. Let's do it. Let's get some cows and some pigs and let's negotiate. Let's make that list and check in twice, you know? So it was really nice to see that and have that be something as a part of the HEA, and that we get to see them in Africa. And I can't wait to see more stuff that happens. I hope it isn't just like fringe worthy. But you guys, we have taken recording of this episode and it is on our Patreon. But if you want to get access to that, you can do so by joining us on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month. You get exclusive content such as a live every first Monday of the month, which is the Monday coming up, April 1st, as well as we do some exclusive content such as Love After Lockup. Love is Blind on our Patreon exclusive only. And you get the episode as soon as we are done recording it. So if you're interested in that, please join us on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month. Now, if you cannot do that, Chris will tell you the ways that you can support us in other free ways.
Please go to your Instagram and type in @docusweeties. We are there. Follow and like all our posts. We are also on X @docusweeties1. We are on TikTok and Facebook, the DocuSweeties Podcast Facebook group. We love you guys so much. If you haven't yet given us 5 stars and like some sort of review that really tells the world how much you love us. Okay.